Good morning, counselors, and welcome to the county manager briefing. It's 10 o'clock, Wednesday, the 10th of June. I'm a bit excited about what we're going to present to you today. Technology over time changes. Things get easier, cheaper, quicker, faster, and we have a team here that's going to bring you up to speed on our internet renovation project. And so without further ado, I'll turn it over to Eileen Primberger, who is our project manager.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning, counselors, and thank you for taking the time today to meet with us. We're really excited to share some details about some upcoming changes to our county's public-facing website. And before we get started on the presentation, though, we'd like to do a little round of introductions, starting with our presenters. Subbu?
Councilors, good morning. My name is Subbu Swayam, and I am the project manager, technical lead for the Internet of the Project.
I'm Troy Uyang. I'm a web designer from the IT department.
And I'm Lee Radford. I'm a graphic designer in the PIO office.
And I'd like to also recognize the rest of the web team who's here with us today. So, gentlemen, could you stand up and just quickly introduce yourselves?
Alfredo Services.
Eric Stanley, Web Developer and Application Services.
Dan Swenson, Web Developer and Application Services.
And John Levine, Web Developer and Application Services.
Thank you very much. This team has just done a fantastic job, and I just want to make sure they're acknowledged today. And finally, my name is Eileen Primberger. I am the IT manager in application services and interim director, and also the project manager on this project initiative. So let's get started. Today, the agenda, we're going to be covering the purpose for this project, also the benefits it brings. We'll talk a little bit about the status and implementation, and then finally, you'll get to see a demonstration of what's to come, which will be very exciting. So the purpose, what we're doing here is we're working to increase the focus on what web customers are actually looking for and expecting to accomplish online with our site. For example, users come to our site to find information and to conduct business. We should make that experience as pleasurable as possible by streamlining that navigation process and making the site as user-friendly as we can. So how are we going to do this? We're going to do this by updating the technical foundation of the website and outward appearance of the county site. To do this, the Drupal content web management system has been selected because it meets our county's needs in terms of the functionality, the scalability, the security, support, and cost. The new website we'll update the county's branding and really focus on that usability aspect. By using analytic information collected from our current site, we're able to offer up a services approach that tailors the new site to why the customer actually came to the site in the first place. And finally, our web platform is over 15 years old, and it no longer can meet our needs. So let's talk about benefits. This project positions the county to add and improve online services. By increasing online services, we reduce the amount of foot traffic coming into our county offices and the amount of phone calls that we receive by giving the public the ability to transact their business from the privacy of their own homes or from any mobile device. Once this project completes, our software developers will finally have a web framework that will enable them to support the development of more of those online services. The site will also be more efficient and be more organized in terms of navigation. Users won't need to know what department handles a particular service. For example, if I'm looking for a pet license, I don't need to know that community development handles pet licensing, or marriage licenses that I need to go to the auditor's office to get that service. The intuitive interface will help visitors accomplish what they need to do online more quickly and with fewer clicks. In this project, we're also coordinating with the DEEB, the Development and Engineering Advisory Board, to receive and incorporate their feedback as well. This will help ensure that our site is easy to do business with. Our implementation also includes a cloud-hosted solution, which improves the reliability by lowering the risk of interrupted service. This is important in supporting our disaster recovery efforts and improving the continuity of our operations. The platform will also be easier to maintain because we're using one framework for both the intranet and the internet. This means that the technical support requirements are minimized because IT staff will only need to support a single technology. It also means that web authoring is consistent from one platform to the next. And because of those two things, the training all around is minimized. The new website will also equip employees to update content more quickly. For example, today, the publishing process takes about 15 minutes to publish a change. The new system incorporates some streamlined editing tools to make publishing content simple and instantaneous. Built-in versioning and rollback features also make it easy to revert back to prior versions in case a mistake is made, and changes are automatically logged in who made the change and the date and the time the change was made. The new system also has the ability to do time postings. So today, if you need to have a piece of content published at a particular date and time, like 9 a.m. June 15th, you need to be there at 9 a.m. on June 15th to press the button to make it happen. In the new system, you just pre-configure it to set it up so that this piece of information gets refreshed at exactly that time and day, which is nice. It also, conversely, has the ability to remove the content. So if it only should be shown for a certain period of time, then you can set it up so that that information drops. And lastly, the system also incorporates approval workflows. This is an optional feature, so a department head may want the ability to oversee all the content that gets published for their site, so they would just be added as an approver. So as content gets published, they automatically receive that information and have the ability to approve it for publishing. And like I said, this is optional. You can also set it up the same way so that the web author has full capabilities. So some more benefits I'd like to talk about is that the new website will be more compatible with smartphones and tablets and other mobile devices. Today, when you go to our county's website with your smartphone, it's an exercise of zooming in, panning around, zooming out, and trying to find that information because everything is so small and difficult to read. The new site will automatically resize and conform to fit your specific device size. Analytics show us that 45% of the traffic today accessing the county's site comes from one of these type of devices. If you look at the chart up on the slide, you can see that the graph indicates that in 2012, the percentage of mobile users was just 16%. In 2013, that percentage rose to 27%. Last year, it was 38%, and today, as I mentioned, it's 45%. These analytics indicate that the percentage of mobile users is likely to increase. The last benefit I'd like to talk about is the ability to make our site more ADA compliant by improving service for users with disabilities or special needs. It's estimated that approximately 3 to 5% of people on the internet today use some sort of form of assistive technology to help them navigate the site, such as a screen reader. That equates to approximately 175 distinct users per day accessing our county's website with that technology. Next, let's talk about the status and implementation. So today, the technical team, as you've met today, has been assembled and has been working very hard to get us where we are at today. The public information team is involved and closely integrated with the project team. Departments countywide have been engaged, and at the department head level as stakeholders, leads have been identified for each of those departments, and web authors have been notified and informed of the changes coming. So today, we come before you, the board, to give you an overview of this project and show you a preview of what you can expect. Before we launch into the demonstration portion, I'd like to just give you an overview of the timeline for this project. In May, we finalized the contracts for both the hosting and the professional services. This month of June, we're finishing up the planning and design portion of the project. The content migration is going to occur over the July through September timeframe. Following that, in the October to November timeframe, we'll be covering the web author training and the testing phase of the project. And finally, a go live is anticipated by the end of December. So with that, I'd like to turn this over to Troy and Lee, who will walk through a demonstration of the new site and then answer any questions that you may have.
And Troy, make sure the microphone is close, please.
So as Eileen said, one of the key things we're looking for with this new site was an efficient user experience, making things as fast as possible for people to find, easy to find, quick to get to, etc. So one of the biggest things, again, was a services focus. So we're looking at what customers are actually going to the site for. So we have analytic data to show what are the most used pages and services, and we use that to prioritize the content and the way it's organized. The other thing is it's mobile friendly and responsive. So what that means is that the site works well on phones and tablets, essentially. It adapts the layout to fit better to the smaller screen, essentially. And accessible for disabled users, essentially the site helps assistive technologies read the page, because web pages are quite complex in the back end, so it helps readers understand that page better, helps disabled users read the page better. And the other thing is it has a consistent and branded design that will give an instant recognition of Clark County.
So as Troy mentioned, there's a consistency site-wide. We're wanting people to have a better user experience and to have a consistent experience regardless of where on the site they may be navigating. This is very important and a key component because it helps us build good relationships with our community and as well as newcomers. People that may be considering a move to Clark County for either home or business often will do a little searching, take a look at the website, and get a better feel for who we are as a county and as a community. So it's important that the website help reflect who we are and how we serve the community. So let's talk a little bit about the structure of the site. The first component I like to talk about is the slider, this main image here. There will be two or three of these up at any given time. They will be timely topics. Departments will have an opportunity to feature particular services that we may want community to know about. We have the mega menu. This is basically three different ways to start navigating for the information that you're looking for. It's task first. If I'm a visitor to the site, I'm coming, I need to license my pet. I'm asking myself the question, how do I, the information under this first nav is organized so that I can just be answering that question and link directly to the service or department that I need. If I do know the service or department I need, I can pop over to services or departments and that information is organized in such a fashion where it gets me where I need to go if I have a little bit more information. So it's basically three different ways for me to get where I need to go depending on what my level of information is. Up in the top right-hand corner, we have our search feature. This searches the site countywide. We have Find It Fast down below. This is the top 10 pages that visitors currently go to on the site today. So we're using analytic information to determine what those top 10 items are. So again, trying to get the user to where they need to go efficiently and quickly. We also have a services feature. This is another opportunity for departments to be highlighting or promoting timely information or topics. These will be calendarized, and we anticipate that these will be up for about a month, depending on county need. We have our news and events section. And then anchoring the right-hand corner is our Board of County Councilors content. We have our footer down below. Again, some more intuitive ways for people to search that's organized a little bit differently than we did up at the top of the site. I also want to actually jump back. You'll see up at the top there that mega menu always stays constant as you're scrolling to the site. So if you're navigating throughout the site, that main menu bar always stays at the top, so you always have access to be able to navigate to a different place site-wide. So then back to the footer, we've got our contact information and then our county-wide social media access.
So when we're talking about responsive and mobile-friendly, go into a little more detail about that. Essentially, what this does is it eliminates the need for a mobile-specific site because the one website itself adapts to the device you're on. So, and it does that by essentially taking the screen size. So if there's a small screen, it adjusts to be all in a single column so you can read things better. And we have examples that I'd like to show you guys. So, and again, it's important because right now we have 45% mobile traffic. So almost half of the users on the website using a phone or a tablet. The site currently is not equipped to do any kind of responsive or mobile-friendly help for those. So I do have a phone and a tablet if you guys would like to see.
Good morning, sorry I'm late.
Good to see you here.
Yeah, glad to be here.
It is a part-timer until 6 July, and we just can't wait.
Okay, so with that, I'd like to show a couple of the other pages we've done. So we have a department homepage example and a department subpage example.
Hey, Troy. Yes. The other day, the screen was shrunk on the projector, and it resizes.
Oh, okay, yes.
For the benefit of the folks
yes,
in the crowd, could
absolutely.
You do that?
So let me show the responsive for everyone else. So we have our full-width kind of desktop layout here, and then if the screen is a little bit smaller, everything kind of adapts. So now the Find It Fast area dropped below the slider, the services graphic is up in the top right, and everything is kind of in a 2x2 layout as you go down the page. So this is what it would look like on a tablet in kind of portrait land or portrait orientation. And if you're even smaller, if you're hitting it with like an iPhone or a very small device, everything adapts to be in a single column. And the services graphic is now horizontal instead of a block. And everything's organized in a single column with a collapsible, expandable menu to get to the search and everything like that. So that's essentially the three layouts we have. Based on the device you're on, it will scale and pick the layout and adjust. So it will look good essentially on any device. As much screen space as you have, the site will use as much screen space as that as possible to make the site look as good as possible.
Okay, thanks.
No problem. And with that, I would like to go to the kind of public works sample page we've been using. So in this big change from how department sites are now, so this is a department homepage. They have an optional slider similar to the homepage. The Find It Fast area for this particular page would be the top 10 for that specific department, whereas the homepage is site-wide if it's on a department, it's the top 10 for that department specifically. And again, that's mapped up by analytic data, et cetera, where we'll put those links. And the new thing for the site as well is the sub-navigation structure. So we have this can be either top-level links, and you can just click on that button to go to a different page, or they can be expandable links to show other kind of organized content. And what this does is it really helps departments group content, helps the user find, you know, content groups and content organization a lot easier if you can subcategorize your content in this way. And we have one last example, which is a kind of a project subpage or a department subpage. And this is an example of a content-based page. So about 75% of pages on the current site are going to use this layout, just kind of a big content area to put all their text, pictures, graphics, tables, are going to be in a layout like this. So a nice big space to fit that content. And there's an added element to these pages, which is, it's called the breadcrumbs element. But what essentially it does is tracks the path you went to get to that page if you want to revert back. So we started with the home page, then to the Public Works home page, and then now this subpage. And with that, I'm going to head back to the home page.
So again, the goal here is to be is for an enhanced user experience. We're focused on customer service and enhancing both our reputation and our relationships. Information is easy to read and easy to find. It's mobile-friendly and responsive. As Troy talked about, this means that the site flexes naturally as the layout changes based on the size and the capabilities of the device that you're using. The most important information is reorganized and prioritized, again, device-specific. This eliminates the need for any kind of a separate mobile site or any kind of identifier where we would need to send people to a separate site that was built for mobile compatibility. This is a kind of all-in-one feature where the site just really is capable of fluctuating and adapting to the device. And again, we're also focused on task-oriented and customer service focus.
Okay. Thank you. So we'd like to open it up for questions at this time.
I do. One of the things that we've been trying to do is get down the road to provide better service for pet owners is when they go out in the field, they could use their pad or their laptop, put in the information of the animal, and take a photograph of it, and then have it appear up on our website immediately. And then on that information, it would show the dog. It would show the where the dog was picked up and where the dog is being taken. And been my understanding that we're up and we're on the laptops, in my last understanding, but we haven't gotten to the other step. So would this be compatible, something like that?
Sure. Sue, would you want to take that one?
Yes, I can tell you yes for now, but I'm not sure all the requirements of this project at this stage. Paul Scarpelli, who is our animal license officer, he has talked with me on this project. What we want to do, we already collected some high-level requirements from him. Because we started this project, we have several projects. I only mentioned one. We have several projects like this that we wanted to accomplish in the coming years. Unfortunately, as Irene mentioned, the existing platform that we have is 15 years old, and it is hard to build these kind of applications on top. So one of the things we are doing right now in this project is to replace our content management system. So that gives us to be able to do this on these kind of projects.
Yeah. I guess more importantly is that we don't have to buy a whole new system. How do we make this one? Maybe we'll make it work for that.
Well, we may need to buy some hardware. For example, you talked about taking a piece of device to be free. Yes, we may have to purchase that kind of thing, but for software, I think we can develop in house.
I know that the assessor has a program that they do something similar in the field where they go out to do assessments. And so they do the work on their tablet or laptop. And when they get done, they just push enter and it goes into our system. so then they come back. What they were able to do is save almost 50% of their time. When they came back to the building here, they didn't have anything. In the past, they would have to re-enter all that information. Mm-hmm. And now it's a one-step thing, they're a real-time saver.
Correct, and that's what we already prepared.
Thank you. I'm anxious to see that completed someday.
Great.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Well, good seeing you, Councilor Milkey.
For my question, you'll know I'm a total lay person. So the first thing I want to say is thanks to the IT department, who I've had to call for a number of reasons, cell phone, whatever, and a really good job, really prompt service, because if it's a county cell phone and for any reason there's a glitch in using it or whatever, getting it connected to the internet and all that. I really appreciate the good service and the fast services. It helps me keep rolling. So thank you so much to all the staff for that. So another layperson matter. So cloud-hosted solution lowers risk. I don't get it about the cloud, and honestly, I'm not the only person who doesn't get it about the cloud. So when we talk about the cloud, and here's why I'm interested in it, for storage of information, security of that information that's stored, retrieval of that information that's stored, and the cost. So I can send stuff to the cloud through my Gmail, and it's like saved for infinity or whatever. I have no confidence that there's any security in that necessarily. The matters we deal with, we need a high degree of security. So first of all, are there cloud providers?
Yes.
I mean, nobody does anything for free. So there are cloud providers. Is there like an infinite number of cloud providers?
Yeah, there are many cloud providers that offer different types of services.
Uh-huh.
This particular, we're looking more as a software as a service. They will be providing the infrastructure as well. We kind of chosen to go with this route to lower that risk because, these people, this is all they do. They're in the business of providing that infrastructure that is sound, stable, secure. And then we're also contracting with a consultant who specializes in this Drupal software that is great for us because this is new technology to us. And so by doing this, we get the experts involved and where this is what they do for a living. And we provide more of that custom functionality on top of that service. And Subha, do you want to speak any more to that?
Yes. Councilor, you mentioned about the risk, and I want to address that particular item. The risk today we have is we have one data center, and data center is busy. If something happens, a disaster happens to this area, we don't know how long it will take for us to recover from the disaster. And if in case a big earthquake happens, I know everybody's carrying the phone today. One of the things that we're going to do is immediately go to a website to get service. And our website is going to be down because it is right in our own neighborhood. In the cloud, what it provides is we are hosting the entire website in Texas. So we are confident that our website will continue to run. In case there's something happens to Texas, there is a disaster center which I think they're storing all the information every minute. It goes to a third-party site in East Coast. Within minutes, we can up and running with our website. So that is what we meant by low visitors.
So that was the critical part of the question. Thank you for answering that, because if where we store, where we get our service, where we store and where we recover data collapses, then what do we do? There's a backup system. Our cloud backs up to another facility.
Correct.
Yes.
Never knew that. That's the best, most direct explanation. Thank you.
Great.
I also want to address another point you brought up about security. And every data that goes from your computer to the offset location in Texas that we are hosting this site is all encrypted. It's encrypted for, so it is not possible for anybody to sniff and read that information going back and forth. So that is also taken care of. She asked for some cost as well.
Okay. So the annual cost to keep this, the website for both internet and intranet, is approximately just under $17,000 a year. That gets us all of the infrastructure, that backup capabilities, the disaster recovery support at both the hardware and that core software level.
And there's no way that we could pay for equipment to store data on site in ever-growing volumes for that kind of money. It's amazing. Thank you. And thank you for remembering cost was part of my question.
I want to say thank you very much. The future, the vision that you're laying out, the tools, the infrastructure that you're actually putting in place so that we can work smarter. I noticed that some of the words that you used early on, pleasurable, intuitive, to me that translates to fun, rewarding, easy, all of those good things. It should be fun. It's interesting, because otherwise it could be dumb work. And I could not be more supportive of all that you're doing here. I've got a few questions to hope that you're already including this, and if you can conclude it. And that would be for those users that are able to not have the automatic scaling of the screen size. They want people to select desktop because they want to zoom and pan that feature like Facebook does and some of the others to allow them to be able to say, I still want the big screen even though I have a small screen, to allow that feature for them to select.
So that's a good question. So the way this site is built right now is it is adaptable, right? So to get that feature where you could force a particular view, essentially, even if you were on a smaller device, we would have to have split websites, basically. So what Facebook does is they have a mobile site. Same data on the back end, but a different front end. And then they have a desktop site. So same data on the back end, desktop front end. And what you're doing when you say you want that particular, if you're on the small but you want the big layout, so you're clicking on that link that says go to the desktop site, it's changing the domain you're on, literally, to take you to a different front end. Our site is responsive, so what that means is there is no two sites or anything like that. So it essentially just sees what device you're on and then rearranges the page to adapt to that site.
It's not possible for us to be able to actually change that to select the desktop. I know that you don't want to have to make it two sites, but
right.
You're already configuring small, medium, large sites mm-hmm. now, or layouts now,
yeah.
based on parameters that says what size am I displaying on. And so there's, I would encourage you just at this point, you don't have to commit to it, but there'd be a way to allow individuals to be able to say, a small screen, but pretend a big screen.
Okay.
And that way use all the full automation that you have there, but allow them to be able to somehow tell the system that treating like a big screen or a small screen.
You can definitely look into it, yes.
That would be helpful. I noticed also your URL at the top of your address in the address bar. I know that's relatively long,
So this is a development environment.
Yeah.
So it will be clark.wa.gov.
Sure. One of the useful kind of intuitive things that they wanted to do also is to ensure that if they have a choice for relatively short domain names but are web addresses, especially for deep links, that pay attention to that, because if you have a flyer, you want people to say, hey, go to this site, people will find out there it is. That we don't have to have all typed out all out.
Right.
Or if you want to send an email address with, hey, here's the particular page you want to go to, that some of those email services will break the link into multiple lines that are disconnected. So relatively short addresses are always a good thing. And the ability also to, when you get to, let's say, for an example, compare Google Maps to our GIS maps. Google Maps, you can zoom in a different area, you can turn different views on, different layers on, share that link, and it comes with all of those parameters pre-configured. So when somebody clicks on that link, it brings up exactly what you're looking at. With our GIS software, right now, we're having to we can't always get to that that address that includes all of those parameters. There's a utility that we use to kind of pull some of those out. So the feature for us to be able to, if whatever you navigate to, be able to say, there's the link, I'm going to grab that address and share that with someone else. The question is, is that already built into the system, or is that something we just need to make sure we pay attention to it? So that we can always grab exactly what we're looking at and pass that to somebody.
So we've been meeting with a lot of focus group of departments, and that's one of the things they've been asking about as well. So we are looking at a variety of options, such as redirects, where you could have a short link that will just redirect you to the longer actual link, or and other kind of options that we're looking at. And definitely, it's on our radar. Yeah.
Okay. So on the radar, we need to work on that and see what you can do. That ability to see what I see, what you see is what you get. And there it is. Because there's so many projects, specific pieces of information, it can be frustrating if you say, there it is, and you go, looks like a whole page. And it's like, now you've got to navigate to it. It would be so, that's a really handy feature as part of the fun, pleasurable process. It's smart enough to know where we're going to go.
Well, and certainly we're looking at things that maybe on the website are going to have printed material or collateral. People are going to be talking about different projects with that URL, and definitely keeping that in mind that, this is one tool, one way to have this information, that printed information is going to get them where they need to go on the website as well. So,
if the web address ends up being long, just a share button where it does a tiny URL, so you can pass that. I'm good with that, just as long as you provide some means to be able to get to exactly what you want to in a way that's going to make it all the way to the user or to the flyer that's printed.
Right.
Be able to something intuitive, short, easy to navigate. Yeah, that'd be great. Those are the only two things I'm looking for. This kind of my own wish list. Could not be more supportive. I would say thanks for planning the future. Mark, thanks for supporting the team. I would say one of the smartest things we can do is make sure we have this infrastructure well supported. You've got all that you need in the way of team resources. Our job is to make sure you're well equipped to do that. And I'm a big fan.
Thank you so
much.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. So I just want to reemphasize, for many of our citizens, for most of our citizens, this is the primary communication tool. And the work that you're doing on this, if a person wants to know something about a jurisdiction, they go to the website and all they become is more frustrated. That is a bad communication device. What you're doing here is amazing in that it will help citizens connect in the way they are so often connecting, which is through a web page. And emphasis on intuitive but also aren't and intuitive, it reduces the frustration so much and gives speed. Everybody's busy. They just want to get to where they want to go. So it's better than the iPad bridge. Let me just
say that. iPad bridge.
So thank you.
One more thing. Can we migrate to this new site? There will be opportunity to create new web addresses for some of the accepted site pages that are already there. So a real opportunity to go, whoops, we have a bunch of broken links because we've now went to the new ones. So I assume that we'll retain all of the current links, and even if you want to map them, and then click on the old link, it'll still work and navigate to the new, better, new, improved, shorter, smarter link. So I assume that's what you should do.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, we're all.
Right. Thank you.
It's a task on our project.
If you have a software built into the system where you can identify those kind of things and fix it, so what do you do all the time?
I love that automation.
Yeah, if you look at the average age of our team, pretty young folks compared to me and some of our board members, there's a reason for that. So. Anyway, Councillor, I appreciate your support of this project. I'm very enthusiastic about it, and we'll keep you posted on the progress.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. So I'd like to say, on behalf of the baby boomers and the senior citizens, we really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. You're doing that. You make life easy for us to serve.